Blog Talk Radio.
We're keeping it real from Cat Harpin, Virginia tonight. I think I got all the kinks worked out with the scheduling, and we'll be on with some regularity in the 11 o'clock hour. Now we're going to be live streaming tonight until 11:30. If you got something you want to say to Norm and join in with the radio audience, over 4,000 strong over the past few weeks, you can give us a call at 347-945-6713. Nobody on Norm at Night is pre-screened. So even if you're a crazy, you'll at least get some minutes on the air. I don't have to worry about the seven words or anything else like that. I'm sure everybody's heard that Senator Evan Bayh decided not to seek a third term in the United States Senate. Senator Bayh said he's not doing that because politics in America has become brain dead, that the Congress of the United States has become dysfunctional, and that there is so much partisanship that there's no hope for anything to be accomplished. We're going to talk about that tonight. And if you have an opinion, start dialing up right now. Earlier this evening, I had a rather interesting discussion with a friend of mine about teaching, whether or not a teacher is an entertainer, or whether or not a teacher is a provider of information. Well, I kind of feel right now that I'm teaching, I'm entertaining, I'm learning. It's all wrapped into one. So once Tom calls in, if you want to join us, 347-945-6713. You can also join Norm in the chat room. Let's see if anybody's there. Hey, we got the cult in the chat room already. So are teachers more than entertainers, or should teachers be entertainers at all? That's our second answer. Remember, too, you can Skype me at BoogeCon if you want to hit me with Skype. And then, of course, the other big topic in American politics, we're going to leave health care out of it for a while, is the creation of jobs. Hopefully, a person who's created jobs, who I've known for years, is creating jobs by creating a business, is going to call in. And I think we'll have some interesting things to discuss with that person. But right now, let's turn to, I have my coffee with me tonight. Let's turn to Senator Bayh. He just quit. He quit the Senate of the United States. He says they're brain dead. He says the hyper-partisanship is just killing him, that Congress is dysfunctional. Well, I have a question for you. Let's just grant him, and I don't, by the way, let's just grant him these three things. Let's say it's absolutely true. These things are wrong with the Congress of the United States. Well, how does Senator Bayh help the situation by leaving, quitting, if you would? why not take these people or these questions to the people in a campaign? Why not let the people decide by voting for him or voting for an opponent of him? I mean, some people say Senator Bayh's not going to run for office because he's afraid he'd lose. He doesn't want to spend millions and millions of dollars to run for a seat that he might lose. Maybe he doesn't want to go through all the bother of raising the millions of dollars, which leads to another question. It's real easy to talk about all of this stuff about, you know, how the court decision shouldn't allow corporations to give millions of dollars, but it costs millions of dollars to run for office. How do we make that more sensible? Let's take it one question at a time. Brain dead politics. I don't really think we have brain dead politics. I mean, let's consider the things that we're talking about in the United States Senate and in the United States House of Representatives. First of all, health care. I don't think that's a brain dead topic. I think health care is very important, especially to people who are sick. So it needs to be discussed. And it also needs to be discussed how to pay for it. That's what this health care debate's all about, Senator Bayh. Don't run away. Hold your seat. Vote. Be brain alive, not brain dead. Remember, if you want to join in, if you think Senator Bayh's brain dead, I guess there's a lot of people out there that do, you can reach us at 347-945-6713. You're listening to Norm at Night. I've got five lines open. Let me see what's going on in the chat room. It's always kind of interesting in the chat room. Evan Bayh is a baby. Yes, that's coming right out of the chat room. Why is Evan Bayh a baby? Oh, Colt goes right to the point. He's a wuss. Mayo says, who would have thought politicians would disagree? I don't know. I think we want them to disagree so that we get the best legislation out of them that we can. The legislation they write are the compromises of the clash of opinions and views. And rather than just keep them for a little while, I got a lot of listeners tonight. Ah, he had no fire in his belly, says the cult. And then, of course, 460 Kaboom chimes in. Bye-bye. Oh, they said that to his father, Birch, too. Birch Beer, bye. Evan, bye, 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 bye. Hey, all you chat room guys, 347-945-6713. We got a lot of activity on here tonight in the chat rooms and on my Skype, but I'm not hearing anybody. It looks like these guys. No, they're still, Kaboom's still here, the cult's still here, and Norm is here until 11:30. If we have a lot of people on the phone, we'll stay here past 11:30, but we won't be streaming live this week. All right, let's go back to the phones. I still got five lines open, 347-945-6713. Should there be hyper-partisanship in the Congress? Unless my sense of history is wrong, there's always been hyper-partisanship in the Congress. We've always hated it. It got so bad at one point, we had a civil war and started shooting each other. Like we shot more of ourselves than in any other war we've ever fought. In other words, more people died in the Civil War than any other American war, and that was between ourselves. That is hyper-partisanship, when people are dying, not when people are arguing. Right now, we can't come to any compromises. We can't get any part of the law put together. Seems all we fight about nowadays is taxation. Well, guess what? That's what the Congress is supposed to do. That's the first power of the Congress. Seems we're always fighting about the deficit. But Congress is also second power of the Congress to borrow money to meet the to meet the obligations of the nation. Uh-oh, I got some more people in the chat room. Let me go there. At least while we got some more activity, some of the people say that they're going to bring us a call. Well, if you're in the chat room, that's cool. If you want to give us a call, it's 347-945-6713. I was hoping maybe I might see the cowboy with no name or caller with no name. I forget how he comes in, but I'd love to see him show up in my chat room. He likes the chat room. And if that's your comfort level, I'll go to the chat room. Now, the Congress is dysfunctional. If the Congress was dysfunctional, the government would stop, because the Congress can't continue without the government in operation. Now, I had a lot of people out there, I'm sure you're listening, but that said they're going to call tonight. I'm still waiting for my friend Tom. He's probably asleep. Told me he'd call if he didn't fall asleep. Well, we were out Mardi Gras a little bit, and sure enough, we got into a discussion. Should a teacher be an entertainer? Does a teacher have the obligation to entertain the teacher's students? I say, without question, yes. In fact, that is probably the primary duty of a teacher, is to entertain and motivate the students in the class to take the subject into their own and go about learning it. A teacher should do nothing but ask questions and help the students find the ways to answer the questions that the teacher asks. Teachers show the way. There is a miraculous excitement to every subject. And if a teacher is not absolutely in love with their subject, I guess it's impossible to cheer people up. 347-945-6713. We've got five lines open. A lot of action in the chat room tonight, but nobody seems to be calling. Where is that chat room? There we go. I'm getting way better at this. Hey, guest 5665, what do you think? I didn't see you there earlier, and I apologize. But what do you think? Did Birch buy or Birch buy? The son, Evan Bai, did he do the right thing by getting out of the cell, or should he have stayed there and tried to fix things? Are we engaged in brain dead politics? Sure, no more brain dead than the McCarthy era. And if you ever want to see a good movie, go watch the movie about Edward R. Murrow. Good luck and good night. We're also having a conversation about whether or not a teacher should be an entertainer. And it is my position, and I've been teaching for 30 years, that I have a responsibility to my students to present the subject in an interesting and wonderful way. There is absolute boredom permeating our schools. I don't know if it's because we still teach the same way we did in 1850. Yes, 1850, not 1950, 1850. Well, you know, that's a great question, Kaboom. That's a question we're trying to answer. Did he quit because he was fed up with the gridlock, or is he using that as an excuse to try to quit coming out smelling like a rose? Because he understood that in his essentially pink state, in fact, a very reddish pink, he very well was not going to win the election, and he didn't want to spend millions of dollars trying to win the election. It's a tough one. I mean, would he have hurt the party more if he said, hey, look, I don't want to raise millions of dollars and possibly lose the election. I'm not going to do that. Why don't you give us a call, Kaboom, 347-945-67. Hey, I got a call coming in here. Uh-oh, looks like the coast. Go ahead, Colt. Go ahead, Colt. You're on with Norm.
Okay. So where are we?
Hey, how are you out there?
I'm pretty good. I missed you last week. You didn't have a show scheduled.
Oh, yes. There was a... Blog Talk Radio and I are having some disagreements.
Oh, okay.
But we got it all worked out. I'm still a free show. We're over the 4,000 listener mark now. I'm really kind of excited about that.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
It's pretty stunning, actually.
Wait,
I got another call coming
in.
Oh,
okay. Jesus.
Hold on there, Colt. Hey, 540, go ahead. Go ahead, 540. You're on with Norm. I'm keeping it real.
Is this Norm at Night?
This is Norm at Night, keeping it real in Cat Harpin, Virginia.
What's going on, Norm at Night?
Well, you know, I was just telling the audience, you know, I walk in the classroom every day for 30 years. You know, I'm an entertainer. You know, I'm a stand-up comic. Some people might even say I'm a monkey.
Oh, jeez.
In fact, I think somebody called me that at Mardi Gras today.
No, I don't think that's true there, sir.
Oh, all right. Hey, but...
Sir. To Sir with Love.
Love. Oh, that was what a movie that was. That was a great movie. I had a really hot date for that movie.
Oh, wait.
I ran out of gas. The freaking gas gauge on my car was broken. Came out of the movie and the mother fudger wouldn't start. That ended that date.
What car were you driving then? Not the Porsche.
No, not the Porsche. The Porsche usually started.
Yeah.
It was the Green Valiant.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember that.
The Prince, as it was affectionately called.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of that car's life, he had cardboard on the floor because there were holes in it. When it rained, the tire would kick dirty water up at you.
Yeah, well, my car was the same way. In fact, I would drive in the snow, would scrape off the streets and come up inside.
Hey, well, let me ask you two guys, seriously, should a teacher have the responsibility to make the subject interesting to the teacher's students?
Well, if you're going to get them to pay attention, you're going to have to make it interesting, which may mean, anecdotal stuff, jokes, movies, whatever, visual aids.
Paul, you can join in here 540 anytime you want. Don't feel free. We're a very freewheeling show here. Some people call it the Anarchy Express.
Like it. I like it.
The fat left-hander is... Let me ask you a question, Colt. Do you think a teacher can go to too many places at once and lose his students?
I think you need, a game plan. I mean, you have to keep it organized. And as long as you do that, you're probably okay.
What do you think of that, 540?
I don't know. Before I answer, what do you think of that? What do you think what he just said
keeping it organized, that to me, that's a code word. When anybody ever says keeping it organized, what they're saying is keep them under your thumb. Keep them under control.
Well, what's your alternative then?
No, I don't think so at all.
Norman Knight, what's your alternative?
What's my alternative?
Yeah, what's the alternative?
Anarchy.
Well, when you say anarchy, how does that relate to teaching something specific? I mean, are you...
Okay, I'll give you an example.
Okay.
Today, I walked into class. My subject, the United States Congress.
Okay.
So that's what I'm going to talk about today.
Okay.
So I put a Google Jock up in the podium computer. But for those of you out there listening, I teach in this room where I got this like little podium thing, and it's got this big computer on it, and it's got all this fancy-dancy hyper-visual hot dog stuff that's supposed to be integrated. And, actually, that's what I do. So I sent a kid up there. I said, you stay up there. And we just started talking about the Congress.
Mm-hmm.
We started talking about Game Change, the book. But there was no place the class had to go. There wasn't a map. We were Lewis and Clark, baby.
Mm-hmm.
And we were looking at the Congress in a way that I honestly and truly believe it had never been looked at before, because we as a group had never looked at it.
Mm-hmm.
So when we looked at it, we saw something different. We were talking earlier in the show about Evan Bayh.
Mm-hmm.
He says brain dead politics. I don't think it's brain dead at all. I don't think talking about people's health care is brain dead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just don't believe that. Hyper-partisanship, at least we're not shooting at each other. You want to talk about hyper-partisanship, go look at the mess we made in Iraq.
The only thing that's brain dead is the procedural.
The Shiites and the... Oh, I feel so stupid.
Hmm.
The Shiites and the Sunnis.
Sunnis, yeah.
You want to talk about hyper-partisanship, there's hyper-partisanship. It may appear like we're paralyzed in the Senate, but we all share the same basic ideas when it comes right down to it. It's like us and monkeys, our DNA is practically a match.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think the Congress is dysfunctional? No, I don't. You know why I don't? Because I get out and I get on Interstate 66. and I drive to work every day. If the Congress was dysfunctional, it wouldn't be appropriating money for that road.
Well, let's look at it this way. Obama's pissed off because he's got, a couple hundred appointees that are on hold, right?
Yes.
Now, and he's been hinting now that he might just wait for the next recess and appoint them in their absence, which he can do.
Bush absolutely can do. And now, just so everybody understands,
now the Republicans let 40 of them loose, for an up and down vote. But there's still a couple hundred more. Now, he needs these people. It's been over a year. He has key positions he can't fill to get the basic job done, to get the government functioning. Now, that's unthinkable to me, that he would allow this situation for an entire freaking year. He needs these people on the job. He puts them there. That's called
executive,
and that's executive privilege, and he's not using it. You got that?
Well, that's a decision he has to make.
Well, he needs to make that. He's been hinting he's going to do it, but,
George Bush did it.
Well, of course he did. There's no reason why he has to send these people, the name's there, and they do have to be approved. But the majority is there. He knows these people are going to be approved.
So, Norman Knight, what do you think? Is Obama an empty suit?
Is Obama an empty suit? That's a real interesting question. I think Obama has jumped into a pile of poop. He had no idea how much it was going to stick.
Right.
He had no idea how tall it was either.
That's true, too. All of a sudden, it's up to his brown eyes.
What's the holdup? What do you think in terms of, let's say, with health care? What's the holdup?
The holdup.
When we're talking about
the holdup for it, if he should have done what Bill Clinton did when it wasn't health care, it was something else, when they filibustered. What he should do is he should call up Harry Reid. Actually, he should have done it a long time ago. They should make a conference bill.
Mm-hmm.
Don't use reconciliation. Do it the right way. Make a conference bill. Send it back to the two houses.
Mm-hmm.
And when they start the freaking filibuster, let them. Shine the cameras on them. Then shine the cameras on all the road trucks on 66 that aren't patching holes because the Republicans are filibustering. Let them show the soldiers who got guns with no bullets in them because the Republicans are filibustering.
Mm.
I don't know if Obama's an empty suit, but I think he likes the job more than taking any risk of getting thrown out.
Yeah, no, he's...
I think Michelle likes the garden behind the White House.
Yeah, he's got some idea of being...
American obesity.
He wants
what he's
everyone,
got to get. What
he
he's
wants
got to
everyone to like him.
What he's got to fill the suit with is below the waist, baby.
Hmm.
He's got to get some camel balls.
Okay.
Yeah, I had some of those for lunch today.
Oh, good God.
You think I'm kidding? They told me they were chicken to get me to eat them, but I knew.
I had something, I don't know what animal they came from, to be honest, but it was a Turkish restaurant in Frankfurt. And I don't know. There's some poor cow walker... former bull.
Oh, shit.
He's wondering where the hell they went. I won't even describe it. It was not good.
Why won't my chat room come up? Well, there we go. Let's see who's in the chat room.
So, what was your third topic?
Oh, the third topic. Ah. It's really interesting, but that guy never called in. You know, everybody's talking about creating jobs,
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And I had somebody call in who's actually creating jobs. He's starting a call center. You know, except he's not doing it down the street in Gainesville. He's doing it offshore in frickin' Belize.
Well, okay. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. One of Obama's biggest plans was the putting all of our medical records online or making them electronic so they're available wherever you are. And,
it's absolutely doable.
Now, I did a little research on that because I do, that's the kind of thing. I'm looking for which companies are going to get the most business.
Okay.
And
that's
the
right.
One,
yeah.
The ones I found.
Your capital, I forgot.
I'll tell you what. The ones I found all had major operations offshore. Meaning that all of that
work. Hey, guys, before we go on, just so everybody understands, we're off the stream now.
Oh, yeah.
And, everything's still being recorded and it'll be in the download. And this conversation's interesting. And until my gas gets too bad, I'm going to let it continue.
Okay. Well, fortunately, your gas is not going to make it on air, at least I hope not. So anyway, the majority of the companies I looked into, whether they were private or publicly traded, all had significant operations, mostly in India. And so it became obvious to me that all that $10 billion he's going to spend is not going to create a single job, at least not here.
Why is that?
And in addition to that, I also look into the whole green energy thing and all the rest of that, which is possibly the most inefficient waste of freaking money that I can think of. Because for every $40,000 job, it's going to cost us $135,000 in tax subsidies.
What does
There's
that mean?
Nothing efficient about solar or wind energy. There's nothing at all.
Why? Why do you say that?
Completely, it's not viable. It is not affordable. It is not cheaper than gas or coal or nuclear.
Yeah, but it's got one thing going for it, Colt.
What's that?
It may not be cheaper. It may not be more efficient. But we don't run out of wind.
Oh, we don't?
No, we don't.
Look, when the wind stops blowing, how are you going to power New York City? Where's it coming from?
First of all, when the wind does blow, it builds up storage of electricity just the same way
come on now.
Whoa.
Storage.
Just the same
storage.
Way it does open the floodgates at Niagara Falls.
There's no storage. What kind of battery? You're talking, are we going to build batteries the size of Manhattan to store this?
No, the whole grid stores it. It's how the grid works.
It's a constantly flowing entity. It's like blood running through a body. It's always moving. It's got to go somewhere. And when it doesn't get used, it gets grounded. You can't.
Yeah.
If we could store it, all we'd have to do is catch one lightning bolt and we could power half the country.
Well, you know what? It might not be such a bad idea to have some people trying to figure out how to do that.
It would be interesting, sure. Yeah. You know.
Yes, it would. It would be interesting and entertaining.
Well, yeah,
so,
I guess. You know.
Well, electricity is voltage times resistance. Oh, stop it! Do something. It'll tie up key to a kite and send it up in the air.
Okay.
You still with us there, 540?
Yeah, I'm listening. I'm with you. Now, when you talk about alternative energy solutions and when you're talking about green energy, don't you think that if there is money poured into the research and the development of green energy, and if that is a focus for the future and the sustainability of not only our country but planet Earth, don't you think there can be a solutions, economic and economically feasible solutions right now if we make that a priority as opposed to not?
Yeah, but you got to remember, 540, you got to remember who the last president of the United States was. He was an oil man.
I understand that. I'm not talking about the last president. I'm talking about now going forward. I mean, if you're talking about progression, if you're talking about a progressive culture, I think we have to look at, in terms of evolving as a human species, that's just the way it has to go. We have no other solutions. 100 years from now, when all these natural resources are going to be depleted, you have no other solutions. You're stuck. You're screwed.
Hey, you know what?
What?
I don't mean to, you know, sound like a big Richard, but 100 years from now, I'm in the ground.
Yeah, nobody's going to remember you.
No, so they're not. Better. Who's going to remember Norman
Mike?
Real.
Well, then you're talking about an ethical and moral issue. I mean, what are you saying then? Are you saying that you don't give a fuck? Is that what you're saying? Or
no, I'm saying while I'm here kicking, I want to keep my butt warm.
Right. I mean, we all do. But I think it is.
All right, hey, let's just take this.
Okay.
You know, let's not do these grandiose, let the, you know, capture the wind and grab lightning bolts. Like the school I work at. Let's just turn it a little green. Let's walk into the teachers' rooms and pull the freaking plug on the Xerox machines.
Mm-hmm.
Let's turn off all the printers all over the school.
When
let's just do
you?
That.
Well,
instead, you know what we do? We put little signs on the door. Please turn off the light when you are finished taking a pee.
Well, we've already got the toilets, I mean, urinals and sinks that do this stuff already. They have sensors. They know when you're there. They know when you're done. They turn the water off.
Hey, I was at the first Earth Day, 1971. All this moral stuff isn't what's going to make us be environmentally conscious. What's it going to do it is when it gets profitable.
Exactly. Yeah, that's
so,
what the moral thing has nothing to do with it.
The interesting, what did Wagner say? Morality.
You sound like a politician. If the moral issue, if the ethical issue has nothing to do with it, and you're talking about profit, you might as well be straight from Wall Street. You sound just like a politician. So
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Stop.
If you're talking about profit, what's the difference between you and a Wall Street tycoon? Nothing. There's no difference.
Oh, wait. Whoa. Stop. There's
when
a real big difference.
Profitable
If I'm producing something, if I'm making energy or I'm making something out of garbage that makes me want to collect it, if I'm doing that, I'm making something real. Remember, this is the Keep It Real show.
Yes.
If I'm on Wall Street, all I'm doing is trading in paper poop stuff. They don't manufacture a thing.
What? That's not true. That's not true.
It absolutely is true. What do they freaking make?
When you're saying what do they make, it's not about that. You're saying it's commerce, and it's the same thing. If you're saying that you have an energy company supplying something, just like any banker supplies something, or
yeah.
any kind of a businessman or business entity supplies something, that in essence is a profit making entity
yeah.
and enterprise.
Well,
but all Wall Street deals in is false value of interest.
Oh, come on, that isn't everything. Now, if I have an enterprise out here in California, and I'm able to somehow convert tides into electricity and run it at a profit, I'm going to attract money. That money's going to come from Wall Street.
Correct.
And it's going to build and it's going to grow.
Correct.
As long
Not
as it
one
as,
penny for Google. Came from Wall Street. It came from venture capitalists in Silicon Valley.
I understand that, but, you know, you think it all came from... I mean, these guys didn't just... They weren't just sitting on a pile of money and said, oh, let's do this, you know.
Okay.
It's integrated. We borrow money here, there, whatever, you know. To say Wall Street's never been involved in Google, that's crazy. Now, they have no debt.
Oh, they were there to issue the IPO, and they were there to make all the money, and when the shares changed hands, I'm a firm believer in the labor theory of value.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing of any real value is the value of in the labor of the people who make it.
Oh, okay. Well, see, I'm of a completely different school, and I have a theory that I use, and it has to do with debt. Now, I own debt, and I have debt, and that debt revolves, and that is probably maybe 60% of the economy right now,
right?
Just debt,
right.
So when everyone
$231 billion a year is just to service the debt. That's just to keep it where it is.
Exactly.
But you know what?
Mm-hmm.
This whole idea about the deficit being this horrible thing, we owe most of the money, even though everybody thinks the Chinese have the whole debt. They just dumped. We owe most of the money to ourselves.
Yeah. If you count Social Security, good God, that's a monster.
Social Security. Hey guys, you know we've taken Norm at Night to the 45-minute mark. We're going back toward the hour show, and I've really appreciated it. But I got to try to get a little bit of sleep tonight on Fat Tuesday.
I
want to bring this to a close, but if anybody downloads the show, I want them to go out with our friend from Germany.
Why does no one call? Why can't somebody just give me a ring? The stupid telephone is silent like a stone, and I feel all alone.
Hey, guys, I'm out of here. Hey, Carol, I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, I'll check
you
out.
Why can't somebody just give me a ring? I'm getting the idea. I'm sitting in the clear, cause no one wants me near. How strange that everyone I spoke thought I was telling them a joke. Cause all their phone does in the end is clearly
round the bend. But I dare not pass my door, for fear that if I do, for sure, some person will show same.
Norman Knight is out of here for another week. It was a great show.